Stupid Wrong Side of the Pond. He is TJ Schweitzer. I am Jeremy Lance. Howdy, howdy.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Things.
Cool.
As normal.
Yeah, you just came back from Tampa.
I did. I was down there for the USL Winter Summit. Big league meetings with all the head honchos, communications people, operations people. Really a chance for everyone to kind of get together, collaborate, learn some stuff. Kind of see some things that are coming down the pipeline.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Sounds fun. You got to enjoy not this weather for a day or two.
Yeah.
Probably nice.
I tweeted this out upon my return yesterday that it was way colder here in Cincinnati than it was in Tampa where I woke up in the morning. So
I'd imagine.
Having a few craft beers of the local variety down on the water is...
Would you go with some like what's the big one there? Cigar City
is that the big Cigar one? City, I think, is the big like the well known one. But there are a lot of, as there are everywhere these days, lots of smaller ones. I'm trying to think of the one that I had quite a few of. Obviously, that's escaping me at the moment. But
because you had quite a few,
yeah, that's right. So, but it was a good time. Learned a lot of stuff, met a lot of people, and now we're back here in the cold, doing on to the next stuff. Did you do anything fun while I was gone?
Car shopping.
It's the best.
It's really awesome.
Yeah.
It's good times, yeah.
Hopefully you find yourself a good one.
Hopefully.
Get one of those cool soccer ball stickers on the back.
Oh, yeah.
With your name under it, maybe.
Ooh, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just like put like my number in there, like as if I'm like a kid playing?
Yeah, absolutely.
So my son got his – he's not playing soccer. He's playing basketball. My wife signed him up for like – that little, like, upwards, like, little kid, like, basketball league.
Mm-hmm.
And he got his first number. He's going to be number 5.
It's a good number.
It's a good basketball number. Good basketball number. Mm-hmm. He's pretty excited about it, that he's going to be number 5.
Don't hear a whole lot about his fives on the pitch.
No.
So.
Not a lot. Yeah, this 5 is really an underutilized number in soccer.
The only, like, 5 I can think of on the routine. I mean, obviously, there's Vertonghen, who plays for
Spurs, that team you like.
Yeah. But Rio Ferdinand is like, if I think of a 5, he's like the one that immediately pops into my head. But
I literally couldn't name you the last player to wear 5 for Chelsea. There might be someone now. I don't think I'm assuming that person doesn't see the pitch because I does not register with me.
No, it happens.
But yeah, he's pretty excited.
That's cool.
What was your number? Like, what was the number you always had growing up?
7 was the one that I
that
I aimed for the most. And then, like, really got it 99% of the time. And then the first time I couldn't get it was in high school, the first year I made the varsity team. And there were 17 and 14, double 7, and then just the one in front of it. And I ended up going with 14. And literally the only two numbers I've worn for, like, the last 30 years have been 7 and 14. It's kind of ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah. It's at least soccer. I play other sports and wore other numbers in those sports, but if I could help it, 7 was what I shot for.
What about you? 8.
8
was the number. Mm. That was the number. I don't know. I was born on the 8th day of the year.
Yeah.
So
box
I
to
was
box.
Like number 8.
It's your thing?
Yeah, I was a box to box hockey player.
Yeah. penalty box.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would actually frequently go serve penalties for my best friend who was the goaltender.
Yeah.
Because the goaltender doesn't go and serve his own penalties.
Sure, sure.
Someone else has to do it for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always voted on to be me, which tells you about how valuable I was
for
my team.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, when I was on the rink, I was apparently fairly expendable.
Okay, well... at least you knew where you stood.
I did.
Yeah.
In the penalty box.
That's right.
For my buddy Josh.
Excellent. Well, we are not going to be talking about our numbers or you spending an inordinate amount of time in boxes.
No, because we already did.
Yeah.
We already talked about it.
But we should probably do the fantasy thing that we normally start everything off with today.
Yeah. That involves numbers.
It does involve numbers. Positive numbers for us this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, both of us moved up. It's a very rare thing.
I think
I
saw Kane captain, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So he had a... He had a pair.
We both rode that wave. There's no doubt about that. I improved 14 places to 93rd.
You
improved 4 places to 111th. So,
oof.
I'm just trying to put some distance between us because eventually we're going to come back towards each other again
right.
in one way or another.
And we'll both finish in the 140s.
Yeah, that's pretty likely considering there are 141 entrants. Lawyers, Guns, and Mane, J-Slack, 5 weeks straight. I think that's just something that we could just copy and paste and put in every episode from here on out.
Good job, J-Slack.
Yeah.
You're running away with it again.
He's going to try to go wire to wire here for us. reality.
Yeah, actual soccer.
Actual soccer.
Which derby would you like to start with?
Let's start in.
We have two today.
Yeah, let's go in temporal order here and go.
I don't even know what the temporal, like the shrimp, like tempura shrimp.
No, temporal as in like time. Never heard that phrase before.
I'm just gonna look it up.
Yeah, if you'd like to, it deals with time. It's like the passage of time, an order that is in time. Yeah.
See, now it's Google's trying to say tempora again.
Yeah.
Temporal.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And apparently it's a word. Okay, right, well, good. There you go.
I'm glad to know I didn't make that up because it seemed really certain in my head.
Okay.
But let's go in temporal order.
Yes.
For those of you who are now checking yourselves, Jeremy did look it up. I watched his film. Yep. So.
Or if you're like me and now kind of want some shrimp.
Yeah, well, whatever bell rings for you. Let's go with the Merseyside Derby first. Kicked off a little bit earlier for us on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a 9:15. Yeah, 9:15 start.
It's a good one. It was the one that you felt like, I don't have to wake up at the crack of dawn to watch this one, and that's where I'm going to start today. But Liverpool popping out to an early lead in this one. Mo Salah doing the thing he's been doing, getting his 13th league goal of the season so far. By the way, just quickly, I looked this up. He has a 67% shot percentage as well of getting on target, which is a ridiculous shot percentage. Like, that's really damn good considering a guy that's got that many goals in the league. And it looked like Liverpool were going to run away with this thing pretty early on.
Yeah, well, and let's start off with this fact. So we start out with the match. Those lineups come out.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
and,
this.
Oh, hey, Klopp. Yeah, obviously they had just blown out Spartak Moscow on Wednesday, I believe it was. And they figured, hey, you know, this is start to be the congestion time of the season where you got a bunch of matches. We're going to hit that holiday stretch where you're playing like every 4 days for like 3 weeks. Why don't we rest some guys?
You know, Klopp did one of these things where he goes, I took a look at the table.
Mm-hmm.
The team we were playing is pretty far down there. I don't know if you've noticed how far down they are, but we took a midweek game. We have this time to rest. Let's do it. Let's do it. It's like someone forgot to remind him, hey, you're playing your in-town rivals for like the 200 millionth time.
You know that team on the other side of that park behind the stadium?
Yeah.
That's who we're playing?
Oh. Will the fans have some sort of impact on this game, potentially?
It'll be a pretty raucous. This is the oldest played derby in English football. So, you might want to...
Wow, I think we'll be all right. Just stick with it. And stick with it, he did.
Sure did.
Firmino on the bench?
Firmino on the bench, Coutinho on the bench, Mo Salah out there doing some things. But this is the problem that I think, you know, we'll jump around here in the match of what happened. Mm-hmm. Obviously, everyone knows now, Everton get the penalty, Wayne Rooney scores. Yay, it's actually it was his first goal ever in the Merseyside Derby for the kid from Merseyside.
Yeah.
So cool there, but... Liverpool supporters, Liverpool players, and you would imagine to some extent Klopp is going to sit there and look back at not only the player selection, but that first half and go, why did we not finish this thing?
Yeah, literally within like 2 minutes of Liverpool taking the lead, they break again, this time through Mane. It's him, two defenders giving chase, and literally three other Liverpool players that are wide freaking open.
Mm-hmm.
And he opts to shoot a ball, and he pulls it wide.
Right. So he didn't even put it. He didn't even square it to where it could just spray back out to one of those guys. He instead just fans it well wide. Look,
I could even forgive him making or ignoring the obvious three passes he could have hit, right? Like, let's just ignore that for a moment because
it's hard to. He clearly did.
Let's start by saying he made the wrong decision.
Yes.
But if he were choosing to make the wrong decision, at least put the ball on frame.
Right.
Like, that's the minimum expectation you'd expect from that. And he couldn't manage that. And it was funny. I thought about tweeting at the time, but we get enough of an anti-Liverpool backlash as is. I thought about tweeting to myself, hey guys, could that have been a chance Rude missed later on in this match? Because it just had that feel right then turns out so obvious.
Turns out. But then it goes back to you. We go back to the we just talked about the players that did not start.
Mm.
If you throw your full A lineup out, you got to figure with the momentum you had in that first half, you put your boot on that neck and you finish this match off.
Well, that's not what transpired, unfortunately. And no.
Instead you're pulling Mo Salah like literally shortly after the hour mark.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've taken the one guy that's been doing a lot for you offensively, you took him out, started to bring in these other guys that were inexplicably just rested.
Getting them some minutes.
Yeah, just get some minutes, guys.
Shake the legs out.
And lo and behold, right around that time, you end up giving away what is not really the hardest of penalties ever.
No.
But you did.
Yeah.
And it happened, and Rooney scored.
It was Clavin that had the foul.
Clavin on Calvert-Lewin, right?
Yeah, I believe that's the case. Let's quickly talk about the penalty because it is a contention point in the match. I agree that it was soft. I would even make an argument that it was not a foul.
Right.
But look, I tweeted this one out for sure, and I'm sure I drew some ire for this as well, but look, if you're going to, as a defender, approach the way that he approached, put two shoving motion-looking hands on the defender, yeah, on the player's back, as he's heading away from goal, you're putting yourself in a position where the referee can interpret that that's what's going to happen. Like, oh, that looked like a foul. Right. You make the room for error in judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying the referee didn't make an error in judgment, because let's be straight, he did. But the problem is you made an opportunity for it to happen. And whether or not you agree with the call, that's an error on the player's behalf. And those are things that make the difference between picking up 3 points or only going home with one. And unfortunately, they went home with one. And Liverpool, who knows how that might impact them in the long term of the table this year. It could be nothing at all.
You were going to get something. You were going to get some backlash tweets when you sent that out.
Yeah.
But that person was too busy feeding the jukebox with money so that he could play You'll Never Walk Alone for no reason whatsoever.
Well.
So.
He thought he had a
reason. Live to tweet another day.
Yeah, that's right.
Anything else on this match? The real thing,
But Klopp in the post game. Can we talk about that for a moment?
Yeah, so we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
Liverpool, though, this was an opportunity to go to third place. You had both Chelsea and Arsenal dropping points before this match. You could have slid into third place. You opted not to.
Well, hands on the back.
Klopp went Klopp, and it was so great.
Yeah, he and the journalists.
I feel like he's done this one before. He's played this card before, right?
Definitely, but I think this time it seemed a little
Pep
more.
Has played this card. Oh, I believe last year he played this card, right?
Yeah, he definitely did,
and it was hysterical.
Especially with Pep, because we all know what Pep thinks of his knowledge of the game. But in Klopp's case, he got wordsy with the post game interviewee.
Yeah,
interviewer.
And gave the old no. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm wrong.
You guys, the pundits are wrong. And credit to Klopp. By the end of the interview, he actually apologized. Like, so Klopp, like all the emotions.
See, I feel like that was the sarcasm.
Well, maybe
I feel like the sarcasm was there. Like, you know what? I apologize. You guys are the brilliant ones. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Regardless, it was tasty and enjoyable, and I smiled the entire time, much in the way Klopp was.
Klopp was so good.
Yeah.
There's like a new book about him coming out. I've already like pre-ordered it.
Oh, yeah?
My buddy showed me this. My buddy Chris showed me this like back in the summer. Did you know that? I don't know if you like subscribe to whatever or are a member of whatever within Liverpool, as far as supporters go, you get sent this video
I'm not.
Right. Neither of us are. And the person that would know that is, again, feeding that jukebox.
Yes.
On your birthday, you get sent this video from Klopp. And it's him singing happy birthday. But at the part where it goes like your name, he just goes, and this is your name, insert your name. Mm-hmm. And he's like sitting in like a lawn chair, just like at like the training grounds.
That's the most amazing thing ever. I mean, like there was the video he had with the Everton fan not all that long back that, you know, she got him to say like to her sick brother who was an Everton fan. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was just. Klopp's just down for that.
He's just a good dude.
But would enjoy his company. I think that's
absolutely the
least we can say about that. Let's get to that other derby that transpired today on Sunday. The Manchester one. Yeah. There were two of them. Rivalry weekend, if you will. If this were MLS land, that's what this would be.
this is the Trillium Cup.
This is the Trillium Cup of the Premier League. Manchester United 1, Manchester City 2. This was a fun game, and it look, any time that you get Guardiola and Mourinho together, it's going to be an affair, and that it was. And this one was full of guile, cunning, mistakes, chess matchery.
Dare I say they've made this derby sexy again?
Oh, it's definitely sexy again.
Like, there was a while there. There was just...
Remember when City first became a thing again, right? Like, when they were back... Carlos Tevez, Robinho, right, that era.
Right.
How's
that guy doing?
Well, talk about wankers. you think about back to that time, and those games were fun, right? Like, it was Manchester United of old guard. Sir Alex was still there.
Sir Alex.
And plucky young cajillionaires trying to come in.
He still had most of the class of 92 was still in the frame.
And there was some fun to that. And you think the highlight of those early matchups was probably the Rooney bicycle kick in the FA Cup, right? Like that was the... But then over the last few years, United have had this wane and it's really sucked the energy out of this derby. And it was force-fed to us as like still this mega match. Which, by the way, wasn't really treated as anything but as a mega match by anyone outside of Manchester City fans for, like, the last 30 years.
Right.
But you're right. I think this is sexy again, and I think you can owe a large portion of that to Mourinho and Guardiola themselves.
So this match is sexy, and I think it delivered.
It did deliver.
It delivered well. Let's break down what happened in this one. Scoring gets started... by my brother.
Mm-hmm.
David
Silva.
Yep. See, I took his first name as my middle name. That was another thing we also did.
It's just every... there's like so many layers. You peel away one and there's another one right there waiting for us.
So help me if his middle name is actually like the Spanish version.
Oh my God. Like, I don't know that there is one, but I'm just...
There probably isn't.
I'm going to call it Jeremy for right now. And that's good enough. Concerning both of you guys lack the harem.
My great grandma, who was French Canadian, mm-hmm. she called me Jeremy. So it could be kind of like that.
That could work. That would be incredible.
So he gets it started in the 43rd minute, and almost immediately, United respond. They're right at the death of the first half. They get back on the board. Rashford. You know, the young guys have been playing super well for United lately. If you look at who's been scoring for them, it's been Rashford and like Lingard have been like the bulk of their goals.
Yeah, Martial as well. In recent times. Both goals, by the way, and we haven't gotten to the second City goal yet, but both of them, defensive errors, kind of in the utmost degree. So sloppiness out of United. And this on the heels of a first half. Look, it was definitely a chess match, right? But we all knew that Mourinho was going to come and park the bus and look for their opportunities. But I do think this was like at the utmost worst of it for what I think Jose's done so far. And I was trying to find someone who had a good quote that like it captured it perfectly. And I found this from Barney Rone, one of the lead writers for The Guardian. And I'll actually read this word for word here. Have been a fan of Mourinho and defensive football, enjoy the clash of styles. And I entirely am on board with him there, right? Like,
sure.
People hate Mourinho and him parking the bus. This is what pushes the game forward. Like, legitimately, you need someone who's going to park the bus and grind out wins to cause people to evolve. Like, I full-heartedly believe in what Mourinho does, and it doesn't hurt the game in the slightest.
I mean, look what Seattle did to Toronto.
It kind of is.
Park it 1 year, and then look what they came back with the next year.
Let's get another fire ant to put in that equation. But that first half was ridiculous, he continued. Fernandinho is not Xavi. Raheem Sterling is not Messi. United had the players to actually engage in a game of football. And I think this is where the purists have a point. Mourinho had no intention of really attacking in that first half.
But this is Mourinho in big matches.
I know, but it's...
Like, guys, is Mourinho in big matches.
Everyone, like, just one time. I think that's all anyone wants, is like one time that he could just show, like, okay, I'll go gun for gun here.
Because remember, and especially in seasons where, you know, Chelsea were looking to win the title.
Mm-hmm.
Jose is a marathon, not a sprint kind of guy.
Sure.
And he sees these big matches as why would I sit here and try to just gun it when I can just stay the course, ride it out,
pick up the points where you can,
get the point, and move on.
Yeah,
and not put myself in danger. And that's
it's a long term strategy that's worked for him in a lot of situations.
As he pointed to the Chelsea crowd earlier this season, three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've won three of them with you guys.
Yeah.
And that's how he did it.
Yes, he did. But as it stood, the second half opened up, and we had a goal not very long after that. And again, another defensive error. This time it was Otamendi who capitalized on a failed Lukaku clearance. And then Mourinho threw everything he had at it.
Unfortunately for Lukaku... Once again, a big match where, really worse than most big matches. Most big matches, he's just anonymous.
Yeah.
This one, he basically handed the game winner.
Yeah. I heard some weird stat today, and I don't know if this is as accurate as I think it is in my brain at the moment, but since he's made the move to Everton, who you could argue are a biggish club.
Right.
Right?
Not this season, though, but
not this year, but a biggish club. In the 37 matches he's played against what you consider the top six in England right now, he's only scored in like seven games or nine games.
Yeah,
so ridiculously poor tally rate. But it's a puzzling situation he's going through there. You know he's a good player. You can see that in a system that revolves around him, he's capable of being a goal scorer at a very, very high level. He's been right up there with Kane over the last 3 years in goals. And
I would almost I don't know what this looks like, but I would challenge people to go and look for those six or seven goals or whatever he scored.
Yeah,
and find out if those even mattered in those matches.
That'd be a wonderful thing to find out.
Because I could contend just based off of what I remember. I can't remember him scoring in a big match
where
and
it
like
was
he's
impactful.
Scoring like the equalizer or the winner.
The goal. Yeah, yeah. Very
I think,
interesting.
Like he's scoring
point.
Like the one goal in a 4-1 defeat.
Someone who already has the data cherry picked or easily accessible do that because
please,
that sounds like way more work than I want to dig
for.
No,
we're not. I have a busy weekend.
Yeah, there's things happening. A late penalty shot in this one as well. United's Herrera left his foot out and tried to earn himself a foul, rightly turned away instead by the referee and deserving of the card he ultimately got there. That's a penalty that would probably be called in like Spain, right?
Yep.
This
Asmirada, he's been trying to get those penalties called all season long here.
It's very true. Tougher to pull off and
to no avail.
And I feel like someone's going to come at me after the show and be like, what the hell? You were against the Liverpool penalty, but thought that it was fine or you were for the Liverpool penalty, but it was okay that the other one didn't get called in the United game. Like, look, they're completely different scenarios. The defender went clean through the ball on that one. Like, you don't really have any argument of the way he approached
that. And the defender didn't do anything that left the gate open for the ref to step in.
No.
So City win this match.
Mm-hmm.
14 wins in a row. That breaks the record that was broken literally a year ago.
Well, I found this weird. It was a really weird stat. everyone kept referencing it, but I don't remember seeing anyone bring up Leicester at all. Leicester, I think, were unbeaten. That's the run that they
had. Unbeaten, yeah. Yeah, it was an unbeaten streak.
This one's wins.
This is wins. Yeah, this 14 is, straight wins.
Yeah.
I think they're unbeaten. They also have an unbeaten that's nice and long, too, because they're unbeaten as well.
It's now the record as well.
Right. Yeah. They just dropped the points there, too. Shockingly, Everton.
Yeah.
Early in the season.
So I dug. I wanted to make sure we got this as right as possible here. Because this is the one that if we're going to get a correctional tweet on it, this is right in the area it normally would be. 14 wins in a row. Ties Arsenal for the longest streak in top flight history.
Really, ties Arsenal?
Ties.
Ties the Invincibles.
It involved the Invincibles side. But that was split over two seasons. So if you remember back to when the Leicester... Okay. The Leicester thing went down. This always came up in the discussion. Oh, it was all in one season. And Leicester's was also split over two seasons as well.
All I'm hearing is I'm rooting for United or for City next week.
I don't like that at all because of reasons.
Oh, that's yeah. Sorry.
Luckily, they're midweek. We're good. And then we can crash.
And then they could lose to.
Yeah, okay.
Just like Chelsea did when they finally had their snap.
That's true.
It snapped last year. That was a loss in December to Tottenham.
Okay, so if you haven't figured this out yet, we're talking about Spurs. But 14 wins is the longest in a single season in the top flight in England. The last time that someone went 13 games was in like 1929. 13 wins in a row in one season.
It was last year, right? Chelsea.
Damn it. Yeah, and that one. And that one as well.
And then it was snapped in December by Spurs, like you guys will do this coming weekend. You will snap the streak.
Yeah.
In December.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do.
Okay, well, I'm on board with this.
The NBA win streak that Golden State had, it was snapped by the Milwaukee Bucks. The previous win streak of that level was also snapped by the Milwaukee Bucks.
OMG.
It's the same teams that do this.
This does seem like a Spurs thing. The thing that we could hang our hat on.
The one good that says Spurs.
It really feels that way.
You guys gonna make a DVD about this?
I hope so. Okay. That'd be a good DVD. I'd probably buy a copy.
I'll get it for you for Christmas.
That sounds like a good friend right there.
Let's on Google Play.
Well, I'm all right with that. Let's get into the EPL whip around now.
Real quickly though.
Okay.
I guess we do have to ask this question. Title race is over, right? 11 points?
Look,
11 points.
11 points after 11. 16 matches. As absurd as that number is, Leicester have just challenged the paradigm for me, and I'm not comfortable saying that anything's written at this point.
I mean, this would be
you're talking about
an epic collapse.
Look, though. I get it, but you're talking about in a year where we've seen the last few years where we've seen Leicester City, Leicester City win the Premier League title.
Yep.
Donald Trump win an American presidency.
And then the thing more shocking that happened a few days before that, the Chicago Cubs winning the World Series.
That's what I'm saying. Like, anything's possible now. This is just the reality we live in these days. Now let's do the rest of this league.
Okay. All right. Let's go with the whip, and let's start with the
Should we start on Saturday morning?
Yeah, Saturday morning, 7:30. I'm glad I woke up for that one, guys.
Rip the Band-Aid off
right Glad I now. Woke up for that. Mm-hmm. Glad I didn't sleep in. My one day this week, I could have slept in. What did I do? I woke up and watched you sorry bastards do Jack Diddley for 90 minutes.
Yeah, that is an accurate way of describing that.
West Ham 1, Chelsea 0. Saturdays are for the Moyes.
Do you guys struggle at the Olympic Stadium? Is that what it is? City of London Stadium? It's just a challenging place for you?
Taking a page out of your guys' book.
Not anymore.
No.
That's yours now.
You lost the one that mattered.
It's yours now.
We sucked. So we had our chances. Mm-hmm. Chelsea had their chances. This was not this was how you beat Chelsea. You bunker in, and you just piss them off. And it just ends up also not being their day. Because even late on, both Hazard And Morata, to a lesser extent, Morata, because he's kind of becoming known for missing really easy chances.
Sure.
Both missed really easy chances.
Yeah.
But alas, it didn't happen.
No, it was Arnautovic getting the well-taken goal.
Yeah, to be early fair,
it was really well-taken.
My tea hadn't even finished steeping that morning by the time I...
You rage-sipped that tea, didn't you?
It was actually in a Keep Calm and Carry On cup, which I ignored that.
You deserve.
I did not. I blew past.
You deserve every ounce of that scorn right there, sir.
I did not keep calm. I did carry on. I did carry on the morning.
Yeah. Arnautovic did jump into the crowd and get a yellow card for his troubles as he celebrated.
Worth it to me.
Totally worth it. But it's also the way that that guy gets yellow card accumulations, which he'll probably have three of this season, I'm sure. Want to get past this one, or do you have anything else you want to lament
quickly
about?
Let's roll on. Huddersfield at the midweek.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get back on track.
All right.
Conte did mention, by the way, we're out of the title race.
Well.
Hey, guys. Hey, breaking news, guys.
breaking. Seems like one that we're ready to write off. I'm already booking my vacation at the end of the season is what we're hearing there.
Burnley 1, Watford 0.
Mm-hmm. Red card in this one?
No, of course. Why wouldn't there be?
Yeah, needs to be. It was actually a pretty well-taken call by the referee. And not long after that, where Burnley opened up their lead.
Good thing for that match that happened on Saturday, not Sunday, because that was... Burnley not too far away from Manchester, so would have also enjoyed some nice snow.
Yeah. Maybe they would have liked that.
Yeah, maybe they would have. Crystal Palace 2, Bournemouth 2,
Jermaine Defoe.
Holy crap, what have you done? That goal. That goal.
Did you hear the quote from Defoe after the match? So obviously Palace's new manager, the owl, the human owl.
Roy Hodgson.
Yeah.
Everyone's grandpa.
Everyone's favorite English grandfather grabbed Jermaine in the hall afterward and said, still hitting goals like that, hey, Defoe? And, you know, he smiled at him and passed on, and Defoe said something to the effect of, like, yeah, still left me out of the World Cup squad, did you, Roy? Just got
which is, like, for Roy to even say the phrase he did say seems more with it and coherent than he appears. Like, Roy Hodgson just looks like an old man that, like, missed hit. Like, he arrived late and his bus is already gone.
Some of the Alzheimer's.
That's like, he's just sitting there.
Wandered onto the sideline and sat down on the team bench.
Like, he just looks like he's at, like, a bus stop and no one has informed him, like, yeah, your bus left, like, 20 minutes ago. You're screwed. Yeah. You're going to be here for the next 3 hours waiting for another bus.
Poor boy.
And he's just sitting there like, huh? I guess that bus will be here.
The wonderful goal from Defoe, it's like his 200th, league goal in England, which is quite an accomplishment.
By the way, all four goals came in the first half of this match.
Yeah, well, that's how entertaining matches always go.
Could have been a goal outside of the first half. In fact, in the dying embers of this match, Christian Benteke actually missed a pen.
A pen he was not supposed to take, by the way.
In the 93rd minute, the last breath of this match.
I can't remember who it was in their squad that was supposed to take it.
Kabai? Who was going to take it?
Maybe. I'm not sure. Kabai's usually subbed off by that point in the match.
Right. He can't go 91 with
it. He's past running that much. But
Zaha? Was Zaha?
Nah, it wasn't him. I can't remember.
You were right,
by
the way. Kabai went off in the 65th minute.
I'm telling you, he just doesn't run that much ever. I'm glad you double checked that because that really is confirming all my suspicions there. Entertaining match nonetheless. Palace doing Palace-y things still.
Moving on in the battle of those new teams that are now promoted.
Mm-hmm.
Huddersfield gets the better of that, Derby.
Yeah.
2-0 over Brighton Hove Albion.
Wagner for U.S. soccer.
If only.
Yeah.
If only.
Mm-hmm.
Again, as I contended weeks ago, he's already kind of above this.
He's
above this whole national team nonsense.
Don't dip yourself into this fray. You don't want back.
Yeah, you don't need to slum it with us.
Mm-hmm.
Swansea 1, West Brom 0.
Mm-hmm.
West Brom was wearing like this weird green kit. I was wildly confused when I watched this.
They've had a couple green kits over the last few years, like green and navy blue.
But it was a weird green. Like, it wasn't your typical garden variety green. It was bizarre.
What if you had to describe the green, what would you place it as?
Like head cold mucus green.
That is a horribly terrible color. You could have gone with like olive military green or something. No.
It's not, like, I have like, right, I've, my sinuses couldn't be worse.
More gray in there.
It's
than that.
More, it's early morning. I'm taking a shower and I'm just unloading both nostrils.
I just feel sorry for anyone that's listening to this long
while eating.
I hope not. Wow.
Well, let's cleanse our palate with Tottenham 5.
Yeah.
Stoke 1.
Yeah, I had to watch.
Hey, guys.
I had to watch a replay of this one. I was flying while this one was mostly going down.
You scored all those goals you should have scored the past couple weeks that would have won you matches.
Saved them all up for this one. Harry Kane had two. Keeps him just behind Salah, by the way, in the golden boot. Things you can pay attention to when your team doesn't win trophies. A desperately needed result, too, for Spurs. Having gone 1-3-3 in their previous six in the run-up to this one. And then with the big one looming next weekend, too, it seemed an important one to get a victory in. I don't know if you noticed, too.
Stoke. I didn't.
Stoke. Teensy bit of trouble at the moment.
Yeah.
How? Mark Hughes, it seems like a guy who comes into the discussion every once in a while about potentially losing his job. He gets to this point in the season. Right. And then, like, they whip off a couple wins and pull him back into the good graces of management. But a little worried about him. Just 3 points above the drop zone. 15th place at the moment.
Ryan Shawcross had the super brace,
mm-hmm.
which is a one for the other team, one for your team.
It's the best type of brace.
Yeah, you mentioned a team that's just playing poorly, which is Stoke. Kurt Zouma.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to be... No.
Yeah?
No. Not some guy that's sitting on a back line that's giving up five... in a match.
Especially to Spurs of all teams.
Yeah.
Mm.
Definitely not someone we want to be dropping 5-2. Nah. The 12:30 match was Leicester City at the death going to the reservoir to have the striker from the other team score an own goal late on in this one.
It was a weekend for own goals.
An amazing weekend for own goals, including this match winner from Perez, giving Leicester the victory over Newcastle.
I got a hot take prediction right now. Didn't call this earlier in the season. I feel like I should have.
Rafa's getting sacked. Yeah, Spanish waiter's on his way out.
Yeah, I mean, someone would like a more fit Spanish waiter, perhaps. But what if they went down again?
WAF is not doing this twice.
No, there's for sure no
He's
way he's doing it twice.
He's not slumming it twice.
Yeah, and nor should they allow that to happen.
He'll go take like an MLS gig before he'll let that happen.
Ooh, I would love to see Rafa in MLS.
WAFA go to like the Galaxy? I mean, Galaxy eventually have to pull the trigger on like an actual manager, right?
It's been
a
while.
Ziggy right
it's
now.
It's been a while since they brought in a name.
We got Ziggy living like the glory days right now. We'll see how long that lasts, I'm going to guess. My guess, not long.
Well, we'll find out. Let's move into Sunday action. The early match on this day.
Uh-huh.
Since we already covered the other two.
Right, right. The only one that wasn't covered already.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Arsenal struggling where they like to struggle. And that is at Southampton.
Yeah, it's a thing for them.
Yeah, that's kind of they do what they do.
Charlie Austin on the board, what, 3 minutes in? 2 minutes in?
Mm-hmm.
It was real early. His fifth of the season, also funny goal statistic here. He's done that on 13 shots. Just wow. 13 shots.
Yeah.
Pretty good conversion rate there for him.
So I'm going over the last couple years. So these are matches at Southampton in the Premier League.
For Arsenal.
In the 2012-2013 season,
mm-hmm.
they lost, or they drew 1-1 on New Year's Day.
Okay.
Late January in the 2013-2014 season, they drew 2-2 at Southampton. 2014-2015, Southampton wins 2-0 at home over Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
2015, 2016, I remember for some reason I was doing some Boxing Day, like, let's return some stuff and shop at a Circuit City that's now closed.
Mm-hmm. Like all Circuit Cities.
Like all Circuit Cities. Yeah. And Arsenal wishes they were closed on this night.
Yeah.
As they lose 4-0 at Southampton.
Rough.
And then last season they actually won, Arsenal win 2-0. But obviously the 1-1 draw adds to what has been actually a bit of a, you know, we always talk about Stoke. Stoke away is the rough one for Arsenal. Southampton away is also not great for them.
Yeah, the South Coast has its perilous waters to navigate. And,
apparently.
And it was a Giroud goal in the 88th minute, I believe,
right, that rescued this one.
The day for Arsenal there. That's also his, I think, like record-extending goals. I think it's his 17th goal off the bench, which is also just kind of a weird little goal stat.
It's an unreal stat.
Some people do it better off the bench.
Apparently.
I don't need to spend all game running around.
No, no, no. Just give me like 15 minutes to just
bring me on whenever,
around.
Bring me on when everyone else is a little tired.
One
If you're looking ahead in Premier League action, by the time you're listening to this, there will have been matches already played, most likely. Another two rounds coming at us in the next 7 days.
Yeah. Chelsea plays Huddersfield on Tuesday. A couple of other inconsequential matches. Also on Tuesday, and then everyone else
on Wednesday
plays on Wednesday.
Yeah, three on Tuesday, seven on Wednesday, and then another match at the weekend, including the City Spurs match we've alluded to.
Heard of it
a few times already. Let's jump across onto the continent.
Okay, I was going to say, I was like, yeah. What?
Well, I was going to say, let's go across. You know, away from England, but there's some of this involves England.
Right. It's called the Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
There were multiple teams from England involved.
Sure.
Spoiler, they all advanced.
Yes, that they did. Should we do a group by group? Just run down through here.
I think that's the easiest way to just, to just bang this out.
Okay.
Starts
Group A.
Yeah, that's generally the one you want to start with.
Yeah.
So Group A is United. They are top of the group. Basel right behind them. Basel's still chugging along.
Mm-hmm.
This is Basel and Champions League. This is where Mo Salah got found.
Yeah, this is kind of where these things happen too for Basel.
Yeah.
Like they've been around at this stage of the competition a few times. CSKA Moscow going into the Europa League, and then Benfica, all six matches lost. That's absurd for a team that's kind of a European power, kind of.
Way to go.
Yeah, one of those days. Group B, PSG and Bayern just barely pipped it out. PSG finishing ahead on goal differential
They both finished with 15 points.
Yeah, they both only suffered one loss each to each other. But PSG do end up with that top spot.
Right, so you had to go to actually – so that's going to the third tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
So the Champions League second tie – or first tiebreaker is head-to-head.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Then it's goal differential. So they had to go to that one in this one since they both had essentially an equal record against each other.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Win a pop. I say that because that rears its ugly head. In Group C, as Roma actually tops Group C with 11 points and a goal differential of plus three.
Even though Chelsea had plus 11.
Plus eight on 11 points. But Roma drew and beat them.
Well,
that's how it works.
Real quickly, back to Group B. Celtic did advance to the Europa League. Good to see Brendan Rodgers and his teeth.
The Brodge.
Yeah. Moving on another round. Anderlecht, the bottom of Group B. Over in Group C, the one where your Chelsea boys finished second. Atletico Madrid, the side that sent Packen.
You get Europa.
Yeah. Go enjoy the dirt trail.
Hope you troll Arsenal.
Mm-hmm. Korabag sitting at the bottom of your group. The other power, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, the big power out of Azerbaijan.
Yeah. Group D, two big sides battling it out there. Barcelona getting the top slot at 14 points, Juventus at 11, Europa League, Sporting CP out of Portugal, and then Olympiacos sitting in the bottom of that one.
Yep. Group E, Liverpool on 12 points, wins the group. They pretty much had their way with it. Their goal differential is, by the way, plus 17. That was padded.
With a plus 7 in that one.
Well, that was padded with a 5-1 victory over Spartak Moscow in match day 6. Moscow heading to Europa, Sevilla joining Liverpool in the knockout rounds, and Maribor, you suck.
I'm sorry.
Group F?
Manchester City getting the top spot?
They got it all.
Yeah, well, they got all of it. Snots, spots, all of the above. 15 points for them. Shakhtar Donetsk, who did prove City are beatable.
Right.
Getting the last win on the match day, something that could have potentially swung the other way. Napoli, topping the table in Italy at the moment. Aren't they? No, Inter are now sitting atop after a kind of crazy, chaotic weekend. Napoli going out and Feyenoord going bottom of the group there.
Good job, Feyenoord.
Group G.
Group G, Beşiktaş finished top of the group, 14 points. FC Porto right behind them on 10 points. Those are who are moving on. Razan Ball Sport, Leipzig, they finish in third, so they're headed towards Europa.
Yeah.
They're a German side, so that means Arsenal will be paired with them. and then Monaco. Monaco, I don't know if you remember them. They had a bit of a run last year in said Champions League. They finished fourth place on 2 points.
Yeah, it did not go well for them.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard. They lost a few players in the offseason.
Oh, just a couple.
Yeah.
Not influential ones or anything like that.
Bummer for them.
Yeah.
Group H.
There's a group I would probably call my favorite of the group.
Really?
I'm not really sure why. Might have something to do with the fact that Tottenham sit atop of those standings. Pretty lopsided
group.
You know, the power out of North London, the Lily Whites, they're the most famous white team in this group, probably.
I feel like that's wildly inaccurate, but okay.
I don't know. I'm just going to say that they're the ones that are sitting on top of the group at 16 points,
defending champions of this tournament. Yeah. Also
they're also 3 points behind.
All right.
Fair enough. Unbeaten in the group as well. Madrid getting that second spot at 13. Real Madrid, yes, those defending champions. Dortmund.
Them dudes.
This never stops being surprising. Dortmund finishing in third on a -6 goal differential.
Yep. And they fired whoever their manager was.
On 2 points.
Yeah.
Apoel also on 2 points. Apoel from Cyprus.
Is that what
Apoel and Dortmund. This is just, it's ridiculous that Dortmund were on 2 points. Apoel had a -15 in the goal differential department.
That's why Dortmund currently having a manager change this weekend.
Yeah, that did happen.
Whatever his name is. Pete something.
Sampras?
Something.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos? I don't know. Whatever the guy is. He's gone.
All right. Jeff Bezos was a bad manager. There is your Champions League roundup. We're not going to bother to round up the Europa League because there's like 80 billion.
I would imagine Arsenal moved on.
Probably.
I do know for a fact that Everton didn't.
We are still awaiting the draw for the Champions League.
Monday?
That sounds right. So keep an eye out for that to see who your favorite team is paired with. I'm expecting Spurs to get the worst draw possible.
I believe Chelsea, their possibilities are either like Beşiktaş, Barcelona, or someone else. Also not fun.
I mean, I'm entirely anticipating that Spurs will get Bayern.
Oh, we'll get Barca. It'll be that. That's how the cookie's going to crumble for us.
Yeah. We can wallow in self-pity together at that point.
Yay.
Yeah, now we should jump across, not the English Channel, but the American Strait.
Well, not even that, though. We want to angle slightly north.
Well, North America.
Let's go to Canada.
Let's just be specific here. North America. For the MLS Cup final, which went down Saturday at a 4:30-ish kickoff time.
Interesting choice. It's a bold strategy there, Cotton.
Well, I mean...
Were you trying to avoid it being negative 40 degrees or something? Because since it wasn't going to be played in Canada?
Maybe.
Like, what was the choice there? I don't know what the...
You a little bit get the feel that there's, like, what we in the marketing world kind of refer to as A-B testing, where you're, like, mm-hmm. trying out one method in one game and then trying out another method in another game.
Uh-huh.
And you're just trying to find out which one's most effective.
So last year,
mm-hmm.
It was
a later.
Fox Network primetime start.
Yeah.
Like 8-something.
Yep.
This year, ESPN... 4:30 start.
Yeah. I enjoyed the fact
that... I would choose to have it on Fox at primetime.
But. Yeah, I probably would as well, but they went with what they did. A rematch, of course, one that we've talked about numerous times in the last two episodes, I believe.
Yeah. Rematch of last year. Unlike last year, not a crappy match.
No, this one was... far more enjoyable.
This was way more watchable. By the 20th
minute, I was thinking to myself, hey, this is already a better game.
Yeah, this is not terrible.
Ended up being a 2-0 victory for Toronto FC, becoming the first ever Canadian side to hoist MLS Cup,
mm-hmm.
Denying Seattle the chance to become the, I believe, fifth team to repeat in MLS history. So we're not going to get any sort of doubling up there for the Seattle people who invented the sport, by the way.
Correct. In like, what, 74?
Yeah, 1974, I believe, is the year they invented soccer.
Thanks, guys, for doing that.
Also a treble win for Toronto, and everyone's trying to cheapen this right now.
Right, because they didn't win the Open Cup, they won the Canadian
Cup. Yeah, the Canadian Cup.
Because, look,
they're not going to play
who in that one?
All the professional teams.
You're playing Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
Playing Edmonton. You're playing Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, is there the semi-pro tiers to this tournament?
Yeah, there's, you know what's going on? There's the, I believe it's the Ontario League.
So there's, like, Halifax.
Yeah.
United.
Probably. I hope there's a team from Prince Edward Island so badly. So badly. They probably play literally outside someone's back door.
Their crest is a guy on the phone.
but they do get this treble win. Regardless of what you want to say about it, it is a pretty cool accomplishment. Also paired up with the Supporters Shield and whatever the name of the Canadian Cup is. I'm not going to be bothered.
Moose Jaw Cup.
If I were a proper journalist still, I would have gone out and find out what it was. But it's not one that I'm going to bother with now.
Which beer do you imagine it was sponsored by? Which Canadian beer would you pick for it to be sponsored by? Moosehead?
Nah, I don't like Moosehead.
No one likes Moosehead.
No, I'm just saying, if I had to pick a Canadian beer...
Molson?
I think I'd go with a Molson.
I'm more of a Labatt's guy.
Really? The truth.
That was like my college go-to beer. Because you can get... you can go to Kroger and get a 12-pack of Labatt
mm-hmm.
bottles for like $9.99.
I mean, you're such a wannabe Canadian hipster that that's the least surprising thing I can think of.
I mean,
I know what your family history is. Those of you who don't, Jeremy does have some French Canadian in him, which makes you question everything you know about him at bare minimum.
As it should.
Yeah, I'm just throwing that out there. Yeah.
Back to the match, though. Stephen Fry, though, was magic again. This, despite the fact that they did not win the match and that he did technically concede two goals,
mm-hmm.
he again had some awesome saves.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact that Seattle were even in this thing at halftime was a total testament to Fry repeating his heroics from last year's final. But unfortunately for them... they're just these guys that Toronto have that they're paying a lot of money to
right.
that decided to be like, hey, no, like we're going to do it this year.
Some guy that grew up with Messi
mm-hmm.
and then two Americans that are apparently important.
Yeah. And, you know, that little Italian dude.
Oh, there's that guy too.
Yeah, the one that seems to be probably the best ever MLS player.
Jose Altuve of the MLS.
That he is. It was a Jozy Altidore goal, literally the anti-hero of all anti-heroes in American soccer at the moment.
When he scored that goal, you would have thought it was like a walk-off grand slam the way he went and celebrated that.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? Everyone was talking about Toronto was like the original atmosphere club in MLS, and everyone forgets that, right? Like,
right.
I can't harp on this enough. If you're new to the league and you think Seattle are like or Portland are like the...
You talking about the inventors of soccer?
The inventors of soccer. Of course, Seattle invented soccer, and we all know that. But
1974.
If you want to know who invented fan atmosphere in MLS and really made it and brought it to the fore, at least the forefront of wider sport attention here in this country, it was Toronto. And when they came in the league, despite their $10 million franchise fee, which still blows my mind.
$10 million
for an MLS team. And think of what my club could be playing here, potentially.
Slightly more.
Yeah, it's just slightly more. It's a larger number. A
few more dollars. But the conversion rate.
But they really did come in with that. And this town is a town that cares a lot about this team. They just recently expanded the stadium, partly because of the football team, but a lot because of the fact that they can fill it for Toronto game, FC games as well. And that place was packed. And from everyone that I've talked to that was in the stadium.
Championship city. I mean, the Argonauts just won as well.
So. Yeah, that's right. And I'm sure the Leafs will get theirs this year, right?
No. The Leafs are trash always. I hate them forever.
I know. I know. All that said, congrats to Toronto. But it was that Jozy Altidore goal that really kind of sealed it. You knew once they got that, and it was later on in the match, it just never felt like Seattle were going to be coming back at that point.
Right.
But it was Giovinco.
That involved them actually, you know, putting up
an attack.
An offensive front.
And then the later goal in the dying moments of the game, Toronto get the insurance. And then finally that victory.
And a sweet victory it was, mm-hmm. much like the maple syrup that rains down from America's hat. Mm-hmm. Toronto enjoying that one. I guess, okay, so there's two questions.
Mm-hmm.
One is... where does this Toronto team rank in the pantheons of MLS clubs? Best ever roster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't think there's any question. People are going to nitpick it because of the Bradley and the Altidore thing. Everyone in American soccer right now, just it's their
You're talking about the two guys who get booed at every opposing American
Jozy Altidore. He had moments in this game that were maddening in a way that if you're the national team fan, you see him and you go, damn it, that's why.
That's the Jozy I know.
But then he also has moments where he is fabulous in build-up play and hold-up, and he very expertly finished on the goal. Like, you can't even make an argument against it. And it's taboo to support him, but look, he is the – Brian McBride aside, the – and Eric Wynalda, it feels dirty even saying it, the best American striker ever, right? Like, there's no question about
and
that.
And he's also not super old, and bad news, gang, we're not super deep at that position. So
no, so he's going to be in the pitch.
Still getting starts.
But it is fun from the narrative perspective to see him come in and rattle, and he and Bradley, who are kind of at the center of all the controversy that's going on with our national team, getting a title and kind of – being able to shake that at the haters going, I wanted this and I got thing that I wanted and I can do this again potentially.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it. The team that I wanted to win won, I think is,
I think that's how I felt. Yeah. That's how I felt as well.
There were a couple Cincinnati tie-ins.
Yeah. Nick Hagland, not Cincinnati tie-in, Westchester, Ohio.
Yeah, I knew you were going to bring
my hometown.
I knew you were going
to
do it.
Wrong high school. He went to, he blew that. He screwed that up. He went to Lakota West. We all know. West is disgusting. You go to Lakota East if you have any dignity in you.
Look, let's talk about what these schools really should have been named real quick. If you're not from Cincinnati, you would have no reason to know why this should be the case. But there's Lakota East and there's Lakota West. They're decidedly, like, almost on the same, like, meridian. Well, is that the right word?
Well, by meridian, you mean I-75, which runs north to south.
Mm-hmm. They're both on the same side of the highway, right?
Yep.
They are, one is slightly east of the other, one is slightly west of the other.
Sure.
They should have been north and south.
Right, like, that conjures up some things here in this country.
It's never not ridiculous for me to think about it. And the Southern team had to have been the Rebels. There's just no question about that.
We used to have a phrase when I went to Lakota East. It was called West TDs. And that's...
everything you need to know?
So that's... how we felt about what was going on down in Lakota West.
Seems awfully silly to me.
Well, It is what it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we did have that tie. Were there other ties? I didn't know that.
The reason why we're even talking about Westchester, Ohio, Nick Hagelin, obviously.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We forgot to mention that part.
Nick Hagelin, Toronto FC player, former Xavier grad.
I guess he also did go there as well.
Yeah, great player indeed. And then also the man who actually kind of built this entire thing up, Tim Bezpachenko, I think that's the correct way to say it.
Go for it.
Yeah. The GM of Toronto FC, who really is the mastermind behind a lot of the project that's been as successful as it has been the last few years.
I thought you were going to say Tim Leiwick he was from.
Is it, now I feel like I'm questioning, is it actually Tim Bezpachenko?
Tim Leiwick, he is the AIG guy. I was,
yeah. Used to be in Toronto. Now he's with...
yeah, they rolled him out.
But I think he's with Miami now.
They might have been.
But anyway, he attended UC Law School and spent some time living here in the cities. So it's pretty cool.
Sweet.
Little tie-ins for the Queen City.
UC Law School, man.
Do whatever you can at this
point. I got a couple friends I went there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any of them starting running soccer clubs anytime soon. But
okay. Well, you never know. Tim probably didn't think that either. But there is your MLS Cup update. Hooray, MLS offseason. It'll be like...
an interesting one.
Yeah, very obviously, interesting one.
You know, for you guys, there's obviously a big announcement coming here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
Could definitely impact... I don't want to make this too harsh, DJ. The rest of your life.
Yeah. It's a weird precipice to be sitting on at the moment. For sure, by the time... we record again, the MLS Board of Governors will have met to decide.
I mean, was that Thursday in the meeting?
Yeah, I believe so.
So the Board of – now, is it the Board of Governors vote or just the Expansion Committee?
To my knowledge
– they just kind of go like,
I think
hey,
they kind of go, here's what we think, right? And then the Board of Governors then take those – the feedback they're given.
Those
and then
dossiers.
And they then compile and vote and decide – who's in and who's out.
Because you get – so the four teams that were deemed finalists present it on Wednesday.
Yes.
In New York.
Yep.
You guys sent obviously not only your boss, your president, the owners, even the mayor of Cincinnati went along.
Yep.
So you guys presented. But who were you presenting just to – the expansion committee or the board? I don't.
It's the expansion committee itself that we were presenting to, along with Don Garber and
right. I would imagine he'd be there.
And a few other esteemed members of.
Sunil, was Sunil there?
I don't believe Sunil was there.
Eric Winalda, was he there?
I'm sure he thought he was.
Was Hope Solo there?
Hope Solo was punching someone trying to get in, but
okay,
But yeah, that's we're currently waiting in limbo, much like the cities of Sacramento, Nashville, and Detroit at the moment. And you know, it's funny. I, as someone who's so heavily invested in all of this, and obviously you are as well, but you spend more time than you care to admit going to see what other people feel about
their
chances.
Oh, absolutely.
Perusing every team's subreddit, right? Every fan base thinks we've got this.
Is there a Detroit fan base?
I'm not convinced. That's the outlier.
I mean, we know there's a Detroit soccer scene, but that seems to fall in a different sect altogether.
All of those people are decidedly not for it.
yes, I would say so.
American soccer's police, self-designated police, Detroit City followers. But everyone does think they're in.
Right. Obviously, from what we've been told, but what the parameters are, two of those groups are going to be wrong.
Yes.
At least for now.
Yeah. It's our understanding that there are going to be two teams that they're going to get in here. And you've seen a lot of people proposing, should three get in? Should all four get in?
Why not eight?
Why not?
Why don't we just go ahead and get ourselves a 32?
Let's just do all, there's all 12. There's 12 of you. Let's all do it. But no, it should be a very interesting time for American soccer. Already a chaotic upheaval of an offseason across the pyramid, or broken pyramid, depending on what side of the fence you stand on. It's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be an interesting season just for MLS in general. Obviously, MLS offseasons always tend to be interesting. Roster movement's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, do you see the big roster move we saw this morning? Kai Kamara,
yeah.
Vancouver Whitecaps.
Yeah, well, Kai's...
to go ruin another clubhouse.
Kai scores goals, but
yep.
He does other things, too.
Does other things. Mm. Good Instagram story guy.
Yeah.
Good on that.
Mm-hmm.
Scores goals. Good with fans.
He is a great
good social interview.
Media follow, to be perfectly honest.
By all accounts, at least the evidence is there, a terrible teammate.
So, Kai moving on. Atlanta and LAFC getting involved in some shenanigans. There's just all sorts of stuff that's going on. It's going to be an interesting offseason.
Adrian Heath traded for his son.
Yeah.
That's he's got that going for him.
That's always good. It's literally going to be one of those offseasons.
We've
got an expansion draft that's coming up.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know,
it's going to be a joy.
How many teams are in that expansion draft?
One.
Okay.
Yeah, LAFC doing that.
Was there supposed to be two?
Again, I ran out of beer to drink.
Okay.
To muffle any non-response I have there. Let's do winners and wankers.
Winners and wankers.
Winners and wankers. Outside of the two of us, why don't you start with your winner?
My winner, we talked about it earlier, that not only can City be beaten, but it is quite a feat to beat City. Mm-hmm. And Shakhtar Donetsk's manager, Paulo Fonseca, got so excited after winning that he showed up to the post-match press conference in a full Zorro outfit.
That's awesome. Oh, my God. Zorro. Of all the things, Zorro.
Zorro. He went with Zorro.
Is there some sort of thing?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. I'm not aware of it.
A full Zorro outfit. And then he claimed, like, that there was some – he kind of pointed at, like, this one lady, like, in the front row, like, oh, this is the why we're doing this. As if, like, she, I don't know, made some kind of analogy. Like, she was, like, a reporter that said, like, oh, they would have to pull off a feat like Zorro to beat the... I don't know. But apparently it was her fault, and he sure enough, he dressed like Zorro. Which means, here's the thing, though. You don't just have a Zorro costume laying around. That's just not a thing.
Before. Oh, no.
So that means he said...
Bring me a Zorro costume.
By golly, we're going to win this match against Manchester City, who is pretty much the hottest, most informed team in all of Europe. Probably all of the world, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to beat them. I know that to the fact that I will go and purchase a Zorro outfit and have it waiting in the dressing room for me to put on.
We're talking about Zorro now, and it literally...
Yeah, okay.
It made me think a little bit about who my favorite Zorro was. Like, real Zorro.
I don't even know if I can name any of the Zorros.
Are you serious?
Was Antonio Banderas a Zorro?
Yes,
Okay, let's go with that one.
Yeah, but then Anthony Hopkins was also the original Zorro in that movie.
Hold on now. Okay.
Yeah, but like he was more like the old Zorro training the new Zorro.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Just really disappointed there wasn't a second Zorro movie is what I'm eventually getting at here.
I would say the producers of the first Zorro movie would point at the box office and go, yeah. DJ, this is why we didn't make a second one. No one went and saw it.
Damn it. I enjoyed
it.
It
was just you.
I liked it. I don't care. Well, we were all great. Not Spanish.
your winner.
My winner. I went with the University of, or not University of. I guess it's Stanford.
Oh, it University. Stanford,
yeah, Stanford University Cardinal. That's where I always get tripped up by their weird mascot name.
Well, their mascot's a tree.
It's a tree, but it's
a singular tree. Singular tree that's handcrafted by the mascot every year.
Really?
Yeah, or whenever someone takes on that role, they actually make their own tree.
I didn't know that.
Get their own tree thing. That's why, like, every couple years, it kind of looks a little bit different. Because it's crafted by each person that assumes that role.
It does sometimes whenever I see the tree and I go, really?
What you doing there?
That's it. That's what Stanford has.
We're talking about Stanford, right?
Yeah. Also, it's kind of weird to me that Stanford, just in general, like
that they are Stanford.
Yeah. Stanford getting their third straight NCAA College Cup victory, tying or becoming only the second team ever to pull off that feat behind everyone's favorite American soccer coach, Bruce Arena. His dynasty at University of Virginia from 91 to 93. There were some pretty big names in American soccer that rolled through those teams as well, if you weren't paying attention at the time. But yeah, an incredible feat.
And they were all from New Jersey.
Yeah, literally almost all of them. The same place in New Jersey. Literally all of them. But pretty incredible they've been able to achieve that in this day and age. It is pretty difficult to do. I will say this much. I'm sitting here giving praise about this.
They're taking on IU, right?
Yeah, they did play IU.
Or they'll take on IU, right? That's the final, right?
That was the final.
That was the final, right?
Yeah, that was the final. Shows you how much both of us follow college soccer. I
follow it a ton.
I watched the game. I actually flipped it on.
I follow the games that I'm paid to broadcast.
Well, that's so good. Good for you. But every time I watch a college soccer game, I just get furious about the changed rules. Like, it just – I'm a former college soccer player, and it's like I forget about them. I've shoved them into a corner of my brain that I prefer not to think about. And
so you're sitting there like, how much time do you think they're going to add?
They're going to add any. It's just going to stop. And there's going to be –
not only that, the PA guy is going to do a 10-second countdown.
They're going to do weird stoppages towards the end of the game when you make substitutions. It's all sorts of weird.
All the starters are going to come off – in like the 30th minute, and come back on at like right around halftime, either right before or right after.
Well, you can't – there's no re-entry in the first half. In the second half,
that's right.
you can re-enter if you start.
Dumb.
But I'm telling you, every time I see it, it makes me a little
bad
angry.
Rules.
It makes me a little angry.
Why are we doing that? Like, what's the rhyme or reason behind these terrible rules?
The idea being everyone would have an opportunity to play, or a greater number of people would happen to play. But you look at my old college, for instance, and they literally run shifts, and it's just a bastardization of the game. It just makes me uncomfortable to think about. Hope he's listening. Same coach that was still there. Anyway, wankers. We're not talking about that wanker. We're talking about other wankers.
My wanker is anybody who doesn't think that snow is an amazing bit of weather to play a soccer match in, or at least to watch a soccer match in. We had snow hit Manchester. We had snow hit the Bundesliga.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of snow in it. I don't know about you. I love those. But you still find these whiners that think the match should just be canceled, or like that it's just ruining the integrity of the match.
One of the greatest ever American soccer games ever was the snow game against Costa Rica.
Yeah.
I mean, ever.
You mean talking about back when we would actually beat Costa Rica?
Well, yeah.
Talking about then.
That was a time before now. That said, the statement you just made is totally made by someone who's never had to sit through a game outside in the snow of a soccer game. You ever had to do that?
Like as a player?
No, as a player or as an actual fan?
As a fan of a soccer game?
Mm-hmm.
I've sat through.
Not many professional soccer games.
I've sat through some like football games that were much longer
I suppose in duration. That's true. Okay. I don't know. As a fan, I get it. Like, if I'm getting hit by all that snow,
I worked the sidelines of a high school football game that was in about 3 inches of snow. Driving snow pretty much the whole game.
I mean, I've been to Columbus Crew games
and I lapped it up like an idiot.
But I also love snow. Like, you can't ever make an argument.
I was going to say, you ski, I'm from Wisconsin. Well, you're not going to get a whole lot of anti-snow propaganda podcast.
No, you won't. But I will say, sitting through some pretty miserable cold games, and then also as a player playing through some of those, your feet suffer an unfun fate over the course of a match like that. But yeah, I would agree with you. It does make for a great watching environment, especially when you're not in it and you're watching from a television.
You're a wanker.
My wanker is someone desperately trying to stay relevant, someone desperately looking for people to care about her again. Someone who thinks they can take this soccer's progress in this country and point in the right direction again.
Oh boy.
Hope Solo.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing?
So there's like apparently some bylaws that say like you cannot be, fugitive of the law and a malcontent.
Yeah. Can't have been charged with domestic violence over the last year.
It's lawyers speak for you. Can't have, you know, once gotten drunk and then drove the national team van around.
Yeah.
Or
to be fair, that was her husband.
Possibly assaulted your nephew.
Mm-hmm. Or other people.
Well, whoever is involved.
What if you're involved in the fappening?
Well, there's that. Is that like, do you count that against them or for them?
I haven't decided.
Like, hey, we feel bad for you and that happened.
It could.
Hey, sorry about that.
Yeah. Did you learn your lesson?
Like, hey, why did you take photos like that?
I'm just imagine a scenario where Hope Solo is American soccer president. And look, I have nothing but respect for the things she has achieved on the field.
On field, awesome.
Arguably the greatest women's goalkeeper ever.
Right. She's also an insane person.
Yeah. Imagine, I want equal pay for the women's national team. That's another debate for another day. We're not going to get into that now. But the person on the other side of the table says no. And then Hope literally looks him in the face and then pops him square in the nose. Like, that is a reality of what could happen to Hope Solo.
She just flipped the desk. She just, ah!
Think Real Housewives. That's Hope.
Just slapping people and walking away.
It's throwing the Real Housewives.
Chucking the water at them.
Of American soccer. If Hope Solo gets into that,
yeah, position. she's a bit of a head case, and there's a rap sheet to prove that.
Yeah, track record, you know, being mad about getting benched in the World Cup final and throwing your whole team under the bus in the process.
Yeah, sure,
just, you know, things that you want for a leader. For
I believe she's also made some comments that are anti foreigners. As far as just soccer goes,
seems like a great idea.
What a candidate!
Imagine thinking that you should do that.
This is soccer politics for you though. We want females to be engaged. We want them to be part of the process. But look at the two that are alleged nominees right now. The Soccer United marketing person. That's basically being pushed forward by the higher tier of American soccer currently.
Allegedly.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the one that, since Sunil is stepping down, that most think that group will slide over to her.
Yes.
And then Hope Solo.
Are we waiting for an email leak?
We're waiting for an email leak, right?
This should be a...
That's our female leadership right there. That's who we're getting.
Is Putin involved in this?
Russian bots?
It'd be epic if Russia did have any sort of hand in all this. It would just be too much. They're like, hey, let's just fuck with their soccer elections too. But yeah, Hope Solo.
They wouldn't put Hope Solo in charge. They would have... something much worse than that.
Oh. Yes. There would be worse things.
I mean, could Trump technically hold both positions?
I don't know the answer to that. It's unpaid, supposedly.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So there's no conflict of interest there.
It would have to be Ted, right? It'd be Ted. I think that brings us to the end
Chip?
Of... Chip. Whew.
Chip seems a little more Trumpy-esque in his bombastic ways.
I don't know. Ted's not far off that one.
Chip will literally just fly off the handle.
Ben Fast as VP.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Only if he takes his avatar and zooms in just a little bit more.
If you are someone who doesn't spend your whole life on soccer Twitter right now, you're going, excuse me, what?
Who are any of these people you just met?
Nobody. That's who. As always, if you want to follow us on Twitter, if you're trying to get into that universe for the first time, Jeremy Lance is at Jeremy Lance. You can...
Sure enough.
At him on the regular, if you like.
At me.
Yeah. Don't get at me. I can't say fun things on the internet anymore.
No.
I'm at Wrong Side of Pond.
I can say fun things.
Yeah, you can. And sometimes I DM you to say, hey, say something fun.
Say fun stuff.
Say some fun stuff, so I can't. But you can still get at me, and I'll probably say something back to you at bare minimum.
Yeah, I'm not bought and paid by anyone. I am Henry
on the internet. That's right. If you would like to get a hold of us via email means, you can do that too. Contact at wrongsideofthepond.com. All sorts of other ways to do that. There's a form on the website. Feel like filling
you out. Register for something? What are we doing here?
You just, I'm not asking for you to create a username. That's like, we're not going that far down the rabbit hole. I don't have time to crunch any of that.
Create our own Reddit.
Yeah, we're not going there. But thanks for tuning in. Give us that 5-star review you've meant to give us your entire life.
Mm-hmm. Honest 5-star review. Just be totally honest. But just at the end of it, make sure you click all 5 stars.
All 5 of them are all we're looking for. But thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.